with Dr. Keith Suter.
Former US President Donald Trump has been criminally charged for the second time in months to talk about it today. And I suppose the question on everyone's lips is, will Donald Trump possibly go to prison over these secret files? We welcome to the program Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions. Hello, Keith.
Yes, hello, Brent.
Thank you for your time. I would suggest that that's the question most people are asking. Now, we say here that this is the second time that he's been charged in as many months. These are criminal charges, are they not? Is this different to the Stormy Daniels side of things?
Yeah, so the Stormy Daniels matter is a civil case, and if he loses that, he'll be having to pay a sum of money. This time round, in a few hours' time in the United States, he will be arraigned on criminal charges under national law, and they are far more substantial. So although I can imagine the media interest being around a adult porn star, the real significance for Trump in terms of punishment will be the charges that will be presented to him in a few hours' time, which carry substantial penalties, including time in jail. And it's interesting, the number of people who are fairly neutral commentators who are saying, yes, that Trump is really in danger this time round. So if you read the document, you can download it off the internet. It runs about 50 pages. There's obviously a lot of material which the special prosecutor has been able to locate, and a lot of it comes from Trump himself. So it's going to make for a very interesting court case. Now, all we're going to get is the formal process underway in a few hours' time. In Australian time, that'll be before breakfast tomorrow morning. And then the judge, Aileen Cannon, who ironically was appointed by Donald Trump. So the president appoints federal judges, and it just happened that Trump appointed a federal judge, with Aileen Cannon, who's going to hear the case. But it means that Trump can't claim that it's an unfair judicial system because he actually appointed the judge. And we know that she is supportive of Donald Trump because of an earlier case. So she will need to determine when the case is going to be heard. It'll obviously be sometime well in months in advance. It's going to take quite a while for it to come to court. And she can just keep on agreeing to defense motions to have the case extended on. So we've got no idea when the case in Florida is going to be heard, but we do know that the New York case will be coming to court in March of next year.
I had someone ring before we went to your to talk to you this afternoon, and they said that why is Trump the only president being charged with taking documents out of the White House? Because, you know, Biden, for example, has been accused of the same thing.
Yeah, Biden and Pence, and they took out a small number of documents, and they handed them back as soon as they were found.
Right.
Now, Trump, by contrast, has taken out box loads of documents. You may have seen the photographs of them stored in a bathroom, in a ballroom, heaps of documents. So, first of all, he took out far more documents, and secondly, refused to hand them back. And so, quite often in court cases, it's not the actual crime that's the problem, it's the cover-up. And that's what Trump is now going to also be involved in. So when you look at the charges, they relate not only to the removal of official government documents. The president doesn't own those documents. They belong to the American people. So he removed the documents and then secondly blocked their handing back. As I say, the big difference with Biden and Pence, on the other hand, is that as soon as they realized they'd got documents, they did hand them in. Trump continued to block the transfer of documents back to the archives.
So are we suggesting that if Trump had handed all of these documents, in other words, and I mean, I said this afternoon, there must have been semi-trailers moved the number of documents that he's got in reference to boxes. So if Trump had brought in the semi-trailers and handed all of these documents back, you and I possibly wouldn't be talking about this afternoon?
Exactly, yeah. But instead he refused to do so. He got a lawyer to make a false statement saying that all the documents had been handed back when in fact only some had been. And remember, we still don't know why he took the documents in the first place. So there is that big question mark, which hopefully that we will get an answer to this. Why did he feel it necessary to remove all those documents, particularly given his reputation when he was in office that he wouldn't read material. So suddenly in retirement, he takes an interest in these documents, whereas previously he'd been a very bad president by way of trying to brief them. You've got other presidents who are just overwhelmed in details and documents, etc. Poor old Jimmy Carter, who's come to the end of his life now. Jimmy Carter was notorious for poring over documents, wanting further information, etc., before he could ever make a decision. Trump just seemed to operate on his gut by instinct without reading too many documents. So why has he then removed so many documents from the White House?
Court documents show that Trump is facing 37 criminal counts of unauthorized possession of classified material, obstruction of justice, and making false statements to law enforcement. These 37 charges are very serious, and if convicted, he could spend some serious time in jail.
Absolutely. So it's several years involved if found guilty. Unless, of course, he wins the presidential election in November of next year, in which case he can pardon himself. Remember, the president has control over national laws, and this is what we're talking about, national crimes. Going back to Stormy Daniels, that's under New York law, and that ruling will stay no matter where Trump is, because that's New York legislation. But if it's national legislation, the president can pardon himself as well as anybody else.
Can you see that happening? That if he was to win?
Look, you know, we're in an unprecedented situation. We're dealing with a president who's gone on trial twice in the U.S. Congress, who's attracted far more litigation than any of his predecessors, and now, by the looks of it, runs the risk of running for the presidency from a jail cell. And don't forget, you can't do that in America. You can't do that in Australia. But if you're a convicted criminal in the United States, that is not a bar to your running for office. In fact, there was somebody who did that about 100 years ago, who ran from office from a prison cell. So the U.S. Constitution, which lays down the criteria for a person to be a president, doesn't deal with anything about a convict sitting in a cell.
Keith, can you see these 37 charges being heard and decisions being made before the next election, 2024, or not?
Well, my guess is that we will, because of, given the thoroughness of this, the government will obviously want to go ahead with the prosecution as quickly as possible. So, yes, I think we will get some progress made in the case. And so he may be found guilty before November of next year.
I've just got to go to the news, sadly. But just a quick one, Keith. Can you see this being a positive for his presidential campaign? As
oh,
in,
absolutely.
Any publicity is good publicity?
Publicity, and he's raising money as a result, and adds to the belief that he's up against a corrupt Washington, D.C.
There's only one Donald Trump, eh?
Exactly. That's why we all enjoy covering him, because he's so exuberant.
We'll wait with great interest and see what happens tomorrow. I think he'll be fingerprinted, but the mugshot, we don't need one of those, and I doubt they'll put him in handcuffs.
No, and we won't get to see any of it. It'll be done inside the building. No cameras allowed.
Okay. All right, Keith, as always, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us this afternoon.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Keith Suter.